Thank you, Fran. Good morning, everyone. Today we continue in the Book of Joy as we come together to hear God's Word from the Book of Philippians. And as we've been studying in this concluding chapter, we hear Paul's words as he's longing to be with Christ, yet still has conflict and trials here as a part of our walk with him and fellow believers. He remembers their labor together side by side for the faith of the gospel, and he wants them to remember the commands of Christ and the joy and peace that can be found in the Christian life. As we know, conflict will always be present until our Lord returns. We even have conflict among his church, as we saw last week. Pride, hostility, and selfishness can arise from this conflict, as we learn. And we must be reconciled to God and each other in order to stand firm with one mind for the sake of the gospel. Despite external circumstances and suffering through the book of Philippians, Paul has taught us about joy. As he concludes this final chapter to the church, he exhorts them again in one of the most repeatable verses that we hold dear, Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." But how are we supposed to rejoice when the weight of past sins weighs heavily on our hearts? How are we to obey this command when bad news and circumstances have just devastated us? Are these just empty words, or are they a command from the Lord for those who are in Christ? Paul, who, as we know, was facing death and was imprisoned, believed and talked of such joy as he reached out to fellow believers. He knew more about suffering and deprivation for the sake of Christ than we could ever experience. This joy and delight he is talking about does not come without cost, and is both present now in Christ and looking to eternity when we will forever be with him. Paul is declaring, Jesus is our joy. That is why we can rejoice always, at all times, in every circumstance, no matter in pain or pleasure. Our joy is constant, not because we control our circumstances, but because Christ does. The title of today's message, as you'll read in your bulletin, God's Peace, Guarding Hearts and Minds. And when people are asked, what is the one thing you would desire for this world? A common response is often, world peace. Well, Jesus has given us his word so we can have such peace, not as the world gives. And John 16:33, he says, I have said these things to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And we know from his word in Romans 5:1-2, our hope is now and not yet. And he says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That is the journey that we're on, as we just sang about, this joy and this journey as we go about this, and this righteousness from God that comes through faith, as we learned about in chapter 3. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom, and that means the presence presence of harmony. And this is described as the same as what God described in Genesis 1, in the original created world, when he called this world very good, his creation, and things were in perfect harmony and wholeness. As we investigate our passage, we hope to see the way in which we can have this peace now in a fallen world. And this is a continuation of Paul's thought on us agreeing in the Lord and following the works of true believers whose names are written in the book of life. And Paul shows us 5 practical points which we will bring out in our text to show us how to guard our hearts and minds as we seek this peace. We are in Christ, and the only way we can have this peace, to be joyful, be gentle, be watchful, be without worry, and be prayerful. And then he continues on in verse 8 and 9 on how we are to think and act. And we'll get into that next week. Jesus, as we remember, came into the world as the Prince of Peace. And our source of joy and peace comes from following our Lord and Master and maintaining our relationship with him and our fellow believers. So let us open our Bibles to Philippians 4:4-7, which is a familiar text for us all as we read this holy word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let us join together in prayer. Lord Jesus, we approach your throne to ask for your help in the hearing and intake of your word. We ask for your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds to your truth and to plant your word within us. We desire to be your people who follow you fully and desire to grow in holiness. We long for peace when one day we shall be forever with you. Help us to live in a way that honors you and points others to you. Teach us to obey. Teach us humility, to live without anxiety, to be joyful, to be prayerful, that we may be found secure in you. We pray this in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Master. Amen. Well, I have to admit, I have to practice what I preach, and it's hard not to have anxiety when you're standing up here and delivering the Lord's Word, but through prayer and constant trust in Him, that's what it's all about. We all need to do that. I know we just came from a vacation, and I got to thinking about all the things that I had to do when I got back, and started getting anxious, and kind of ruined the last day of vacation, because I was so worried about what I had to do. But we're not to worry about tomorrow. So I need to practice what I preach, and I ask my wife for forgiveness. Our first point as we've addressed is talking about this joy. To have peace, we must be joyful. And in verse 4, we remember, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And this is not an option according to Paul. As we remember in Paul, Action chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, he says, "Always, in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." So he is reminding them we are all together, and it is for the sake of Christ and the gospel. He has shown us love, mercy, and grace that we do not deserve. Despite our differences, conflicts, personalities, suffering, circumstances, we are all one in the Lord, and we are to rejoice in Him always. This is a command, and He emphasizes this as He repeats it again. I say rejoice. And it might be hard of hearing, maybe, but we need to hear this again and have our minds transformed by this word. We just finished talking about the conflict among believers, and he tells them to agree in the Lord. And Paul does not have in mind a superficial happiness that manifests only when things are going well, but this is a rejoicing that can always be had, because it depends not on our changing circumstances, but on the One who does not change and who created all things. He repeats this as if to say, do you have any objections or reservations? How can we rejoice in what we are going through? So we must remember that true peace is found only in Christ alone. In Nehemiah 8:10, he tells us, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Is that our attitude? We can count on our Lord to strengthen and sustain us till the end. He then continues to reinforce that joy by turning to what he has already emphasized in chapter 3, that Christian joy is not by concentrating on our need for happiness, but on the need of others that we learn to rejoice. He next brings us into verse 5, where he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. What is this word reasonableness? This Greek word is called epikeia, which is used 7 times in the New Testament, and there's a number of words can be rendered as clemency, mercy, kindness, graciousness, fairness, courtesy, meekness, gentleness, or forbearance. This is the idea that we are to be gentle, kind, courteous, and peaceable to everyone, not just those to whom we are agreed or to fellow Christians. As we remember from Paul's talk of humility in chapter 2, we are to regard others as more important than ourselves, and to look to the interest of others. And Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How often do we respond in anger or harshness? Does our reasonableness show others in the way we react? He says, let your forbearing spirit be known to others. This attitude of contentment with one's state, even when one has been treated unjustly. We are to be guided by a frame of mind that does not put a priority on personal rights. We think about that. We think it's my right to have this. Our right is to be in Christ and to let our reasonableness shine. As Christians, we are to put others above ourselves. And James' voice puts this attitude in perspective by saying, it is a warning not to be unduly rigorous about unimportant matters, to not be reasonable. Are we unduly rigorous about unimportant things? We are to let this be known to everyone. As we read in Romans 12, this is living in harmony with one another as it depends on you, living peaceably with all, doing what is honorable in the sight of all. This applies to all of our actions, not just those to whom we like or agree. This is our reasonableness that is known to everyone. And this is honoring Christ in how we live and respond. And then he adds the why about this reasonableness in Philippians 4, verse 5. He said, the Lord is at hand. His point is that we are to be watchful. The Lord is at hand. He is with us always, and his return can come at any time. We are made in his image for his glory, and he will never leave us or forsake us. He is with us always, even to the end of the age. Even in death, he tells us in Psalm 116:15, he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We are his, and we are precious to our Maker. He has called us out of darkness into light. And we remember his death and his accomplished work on the cross. And we are to be watchful as we look forward to his return when he makes all things new. Every day we live for him is one day closer to the completion of our race and our assurance for eternity. We are to keep our oil in our lamp and be prepared to be found in him on his return. And we must be on guard and prepared for his return and remember that he is with us always. As his ambassadors, remember that God is making his appeal through us to be reconciled to himself. The appeal for the Lord's return and his presence with us also becomes the basis for our third exhortation, which we find in verse 6, which is something we all struggle with. Do not be anxious about anything. We are commanded to let nothing worry us. How can we do this? In the second half of this verse, we find the key to this in the Christian life. As he says, do not be anxious about anything, but then he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The command that rests upon our dependence upon God, to trust in his sovereign care and his working in our lives. As we remember in Romans 8:28, for those who love God, that all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. This command that we see as we know the Lord is near. And the old English word for anxiousness is worry. Worry is translated in the word to strangle. This is a stranglehold on our life if we hold on to worry, which causes us to fear and to lose hope. The opposite of anxiety, indeed its relief, is the peace that only God in the answer to prayer bestows upon his people. And remember the words of Christ in Matthew 6:25-27. He says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? These are words that we need to remember. But worry is of no benefit to us. And our Heavenly Father knows what we need and will care for us. And this passage concludes in Matthew saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. This is not our own doing, but by the power of the Holy Spirit guiding and directing us, that we would seek his will for our life. Since God knows our needs, it is tied to our asking and prayer for the gifts only he provides. To be anxious is a failure to trust that God is in control. And it is a failure to believe the promises of God in his word. Do not worry is both a command to trust the Lord and an invitation to enjoy peace with our Lord. God wants this stranglehold on our lives to be given to him fully. When we are obedient, this leads to peace, seeking in the serenity of prayer. The end of verse 6 states, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When should we look to the Lord? In our stress and our need, in our abundance and blessing, when things are falling apart and we are anxious, or when we are having things all going our way. The answer is stated in everything. Aspects or elements of prayer are pointed out here. We see Paul's importance of a strong prayer life for the believer. And release from anxiety comes from bearing all before God in prayer. The evangelist D.A. Carson put it this way, the way to be anxious about nothing is to be prayerful about everything. A comparison of anxiety and prayer reveals why are we to dedicate our lives to prayer. Do we obey this? Are we dedicated to commune with our God in prayer? A great opposing is seen in anxiety versus prayer. Anxiety is rooted in self, while prayer is rooted in God. Anxiety is the fruit of worry in the worldview, where prayer shifts our focus unto the one who made everything and is so great even our worst problems and fears are nothing in comparison. Anxiety looks to self to solve problems, where prayer looks to God to endure problems. When you are anxious, your circumstances and your fears control you. When you are prayerful, you are confident God is controlling your life, and it is an expression of faith and trust in our Lord and Master. This contrast that we see here is striking. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, be prayerful. We will not go into all the aspects of prayer here, as our Lord has taught us, prayer which is our intercession with God. We have all learned this acronym, ACTS, which stands for Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And Paul here encompasses these last two of thanksgiving and supplication to bring attention to their current circumstances, their needs and wants right now. The supplication is our petitions, our requests before God. And this comes from the root word to lack or be deprived of or to be without something. Specific areas where we lack something will create stress and worry. Instead, we are to bring these to the Lord. We should trust that God will meet our needs according to His perfect will. And we remember these words of Matthew 6:8. Our Father knows what we need before we ask Him. And He wants our heart. He wants us to come to Him. And then He says we are to be thankful. Thanksgiving is always a part of our prayer life as well. No matter the circumstances, all true prayer is marked by gratitude when we are praying in by the Spirit. We are to recognize when we are lacking, as well as acknowledge what God has done. A great remembrance of past blessings is a safeguard against anxiety for the future. We remember God's ways are not ours, and we need to trust Him in everything, including His promises that we stand on and hold fast till the end of this race and this life. As life happens, we are to be thankful for the good and the bad and His sustaining grace. Then He uses another word for prayer. He says, requests be made known to God. These are specific needs, worries, and fears that we have. And we remember the words in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Our Lord and Savior cares for us, and we are precious to Him. These requests, our daily bread, our ongoing work in areas that are not Christ-like, our fears for this world, our unbelief, our everything. Moreover, we know He already knows these before we ask. But God wants our whole heart to trust Him in everything and not rely on our own strength or understanding. This is when His power is made perfect in our weakness by His all-sufficient grace. Amen. What are your needs? What has been weighing you down? What has been a weight around your neck? Will you bring your requests to the Lord in prayer? This is the ground where dependence, trust, and joy will grow if we pursue dependent prayer. Are we prayerful in following His commands and trusting in His sovereign will for our lives? Our result of this joy, as we are obedient to His word, as we seek humility and reasonableness, as we cast our cares upon Him, as we seek Him in dependent prayer, is found in verse 7. And it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Our justification by faith alone imputed to us brings us peace with God, and our imparted righteousness through our sanctification to become more like Christ brings us this peace. And in Romans 5:1 it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to pursue his kingdom and his righteousness in our pursuit of holiness. And we know the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, as is stated in Romans 14:17. We are to pursue peace and mutual upbuilding. Man's peace depends on circumstances, whereas God's peace is everlasting and dependent only on him. God himself is peace. Therefore, he alone can give us this grace, the inner calm that settles the turbulence of troubled hearts, the resolve of casting our burdens on him to experience this peace that surpasses all understanding. This is beyond human comprehension or explanation. It is supernatural peace that floods the hearts and drowns our worry and fear. And as we pray in Ephesians 3:20, he says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work in us. Many things of God we cannot fully comprehend, and his ways are not ours. And by his power working in and through us, we are kept and guarded. This is incomprehensible peace that only comes from above. Do we desire such peace for our lives? Are we willing to be obedient to his word? This guarding of our hearts and minds, these are the very things that God wants and that we obtain when we are born again. We have the mind of Christ, and we have a new heart to serve and honor him in all that we do. And this is the core of our spiritual life, our values, our passions, our thoughts, the place of deep intimacy with Christ, our affections for Christ and his kingdom work as citizens of heaven. And he has given us his Spirit at work in us to guard us. And this word guard is a military term of a soldier who watches over a prisoner. Paul was being guarded by the Praetorian Guard, which was an elite military force. Yet he was being guarded by a more secure way by God, protecting his heart and mind so that anxiety and fear of the situation would not prevent him from serving the Lord. In our submission, in obedience by prayer, the peace of God is standing watch like a sentry over our hearts and minds. Interestingly, a military term with peace as the guard of our hearts and minds. To guard us from the evil one and to have his word stand when trials come or we are tempted. And Proverbs 4:23 tells us to keep our hearts with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Are we guarding our hearts in prayer in the pursuit of our complete devotion to Christ? And at the end, he concludes with these words, in Christ Jesus. And that is the only way that we can have such peace, the supernatural peace of Christ that is all sufficient, even in the most turbulent storms of life. We recall the words of Jesus as he promised us the Holy Spirit in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. This peace can only be found in Christ and our abiding in Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the well that never runs dry. We are to draw near, and He will draw near to us. And this guarding comes from those who are found in Christ and by the power of prayer to keep us. Daily visits from our Savior, walking with Him, drawing from the ever-flowing fountain, covered by His righteousness, becoming more like Him till we see Him face to face. Our hearts and minds must be all for Him and for His glory. For His sake, as Paul stated, we count everything else as rubbish in order that we may gain Christ and be found in Him. Is that our hope? Christian contentment and peace have been laid out by Paul. He says, let joy take the place of your anxiety and discontentment. Look away from self and to the needs of others, being willing to yield your rights and privileges for their sake. As for our needs, we are to bring them to God in an attitude of prayer with thanksgiving. With this action, we can learn true peace and contentment on the path that leads to eternal life. In Colossians 3:15, it says this. It tells us to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And then it says, and be thankful. We are the body of Christ. We are called to this peace and to show this to others. The old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, puts it in perspective. I'm just going to read the first stanza. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we are living in the last days, and we struggle with worry and fear. But we have an advocate with the Father, where we can approach the throne of grace to find our help in time of need. We do not need our own strength or security plan to guard us. We have the Holy Spirit as those in Christ. And by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we shall always have His peace, which is beyond our comprehension in all measure. We can stand with confidence in the day of Christ and be found in Him. Amen. Let us go to Him in prayer. Lord Jesus, we pray for your help in our struggle with worry and disobedience. We ask for your reminder for us to trust and obey as we seek to devote ourselves to you, and for your help to strengthen our prayer life. We rejoice in you, as you are our only source of joy and contentment in this world. Help us to remain guarded in hearts and minds by the transformation of your word and the guiding of your Holy Spirit. Help us to die daily to self and to seek your kingdom and your righteousness. We long for peace in and eternity with you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer.